This is Mark chapter 16. Now after he had risen early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. And she went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. I've been obsessing about the life of Mary Magdalene, and particularly as it revolved around some of the resurrection events. And so I keep coming back to the scripture, and it never stops encouraging me, and in a good way, challenging me. The Lord gave me a word last night. I shared it in some of the things I did last evening on Facebook, is that Mary carried a foremost anointing. I don't mean by that the greatest anointing, but it was an anointing called foremost. And that's not because Jesus loved Mary more than she did anyone else, but I believe that Mary loved Jesus more than most. And because of that, the foremost anointing, when we, and this has something to do with us, is that she was postured to experience and see things that others didn't bother to posture themselves to see and experience. The three disciples, John and Peter and James, had a different relationship with Jesus than the other apostles. Jesus didn't love them more. That's not possible. But whatever they had done to posture themselves to a place of intimacy that was different out of the affections of their heart. Not everybody loves Jesus the same. Those who know him don't all love him the same. Not everyone is growing and going after a lovesick heart. And Jesus, who's wholehearted, that we talked about this yesterday, he loves wholehearted responses to him. He loves it when we don't make excuses, when we don't defend our stuff, when we don't blame it on other people, that we so seriously don't want to have rivals in our heart with things like whatever the sin might be, that we're just ruthless towards that sin. It talks about that fact in Deuteronomy 7 when the Lord talks about the different nations Israel would face when they entered the promised land. And it was an important word to them that if they were going to experience consistently the all that he had for them in the land of Canaan, which is a type of the spirit-filled life, the type of abiding in Christ's life, he said, you must show no mercy on these nations. And I believe that matters when we show mercy on our sin and we pet it, we stroke it, we defend it, we excuse it. That's in my life, when I do that, that's a sample or an example or it's one of those things that points at me and says, you're compromising your passion for lovesickness, that this is more important to you to hang on to this offense or this thing than loving him. Scripture says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And so our obedience and our surrender is evidence of the degree that we love him. And I believe those who love him most carry a foremost anointing, and they get to experience and see things that's available to anyone, but it's because they postured their heart for that to happen. And I believe that's who Mary Magdalene is. And I've been thinking, God willing, when I finish the book that we're working on now, is that, and I use the word we, because whatever I'm doing when writing is because there's a host and a multitude that are praying, storming heaven, saying, God, help him finish this book, help him finish this book. I really believe the next thing I'm going to do is write a book on Mary Magdalene. In her life. It won't be very long, but I think it'll be important. There's just so little, unless it's some kind of sort of made-up story about legends about her. There's just so much in Scripture. Why would Jesus reveal himself to her first? And we mentioned the fact yesterday because she was so loved him so much because she understood the redemption of her life. She understood when Jesus said she's loved much because she has been forgiven much. And then at the end when he says to her, your faith has made you whole, go in peace. That's what forgiveness is. She understood that Jesus had changed her whole life, and she was able now to go forth in peace, not shame and guilt and condemnation, fear and anxiety because of the life that she had lived. And it's extraordinary to me that Jesus would also pick a former prostitute to be the one he would reveal himself to first, and there's nothing that God ever does just arbitrarily. One is because he's responding to her response to his love. She carries this foremost anointing, but it's also him trying to scream at us and say, don't use any excuses of who you've been or what you've done or what others have done to you to believe you can't experience everything that I have. And we do that all the time. We count ourselves out. We use it as an excuse to settle for lesser loves, for a smaller story. And I know that's one of the reasons he did that. He did that because of her great love for him, but also to show us it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. In the end, it doesn't matter what people have done to you. Jesus said, your relationship with me is to make you whole. You can now go forth in peace. Quit looking over your shoulders. Quit looking around. You can go forth in peace, not in anger, not in bitterness, not in resentment, not in regret the rest of your life. You can go in peace now. That's the word shalom, which means wholeness in every part of your being. One of the things I noticed, and we're going to be on this thing with Mary Magdalene a lot this week, this one who Jesus revealed himself to, it says about her, these are some examples of her lovesick heart. She's a true Shulamite in the Song of Solomon tradition. In Matthew 27, this is talking about the crucifixion and some of the things that surrounded it. And it says, after the centurion, when Jesus breathed his last, said, truly this is the Son of God, in Matthew 27, verse 55 said, and many women were there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, and among whom was Mary Magdalene, along with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee, John and James. And then after that scene, and it says, in verse 61, and Mary Magdalene was there with the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. When you look at the other gospel readings, what it says is that Mary, and it's interesting that when it mentions who was there watching from a distance, Mary Magdalene's name is first. God just keeps doing that. He just wants, she has a foremost anointing. He just honors her again and again because she so honored him in her heart affections, in the life that she lives. We're going to see tomorrow how her surrender towered above the crowd of people who settle for less and for a smaller story. But she's at this distance, she sees with these other women, and it says that these were people who followed Jesus and ministered to him. This is the word minister. It comes from two words. I mean, went through the dust. She just served him. She was one of those ones who ministered to him, not first for him. She did do that. We saw that in Mark 16, that when the angel appeared to her, when Jesus appeared to her, revealed himself to her, she went and told. People who minister to him become the most effective ministers for him. But people who get that backwards, God's looking for true worshipers, heart adorers, before you become a true worker. It's not that God doesn't honor workers. He loves workers, but he wants workers to work for him, flowing out of a heart of affection for him. So our ministering to him, this is about this heart relationship, is the most important thing. And ministering for him will flow out of that with the right motive and the right attitude. But then she follows to make sure that where they're going to do with his body. Joseph of Arimathea took his body, went to the tomb, but she went to make sure where his body was laid. Like she just couldn't keep away. Here's the interesting thing, though. In all the Gospels, it talks about these women who were watching from a distance. But if you remember this part of the story in the Gospel in John chapter 19, this is during the crucifixion. It says in verse 25, and therefore the soldiers did these things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And then it mentions John. Now Mary was with these women, the scripture says in three of the Gospels, looking from a distance, from afar. But at some point, it wasn't enough for her. At some point, she had to get closer to him. And she left those women and went and stood at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John, who had come back to stand at the cross, and one other woman. That's amazing to me. Again, that's not just an arbitrary statement, just kind of thrown here in Scripture, just because he's filling up space. He wants us to understand that Mary was never content with just standing off from a distance and knowing that she followed him and belonged to him. She wanted to get as close as she could. She couldn't stay away. That's why she's the first one who went in the dark to see the tomb. It's possible that she went to the tomb on three different occasions because she just couldn't stay away. This is the heart of Mary. This is the obvious characteristic of a person who carries a foremost anointing. Again, this is why Jesus honored her, the former prostitute. And it said about her in Mark 16. It's amazing. And it says it twice in the resurrection events. And Mary, the one from whom Jesus cast out seven demons. I mean, I don't necessarily want all of my story to be told all the time. Kind of like Ruth, whenever it refers to Ruth, the harlot. Rahab, the harlot, not Ruth. Poor Ruth. I'm so sorry, Ruth. Rahab, the harlot. He sort of adds that there just to let us know harlots have a place of intimacy. This prostitute, he honored because she so honored him in her heart. She couldn't stand just watching things go on from a distance. She had to get close to the foot of the cross. This Mary Magdalene is a remarkable, remarkable hero of the faith. I think God wants to teach us some things. Is it enough for us that we're a follower? Are you just content that one day you're going to breathe your last and go to heaven? Have you kind of settled for halfway, like in your walk with the Lord? We're just going to sort of slow this pace down. We're going to play it safe. We're going to kind of meander our way into the seeing him face to face one day. Or are we going to follow Paul when Paul said, excel still more? The heart of Mary that says, I want to be as close as I can. I can't stay away. And I want to know that foremost anointing. I want to love him so much. I want to so go after the experience and manifestation of the union of my heart and life with him that I get to see things and experience things that most don't get to. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.